It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 30th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. For the last month or so, Silicon Valley has been paying very close attention to a lawsuit. The plaintiff, Ellen Pao, currently the CEO of Reddit, formerly a woman trying to work her way to general partner at the big-time venture capital firm Kleiner, Perkins, Caulfield & Byers. Pao had claimed that the firm had done her harm by not promoting her to general partner because she was a woman. KPCB had rejected those assertions. On Friday, the jury decided that Kleiner Perkins did not discriminate against Pao in any way. Marissa Kendall covers Silicon Valley for legal publication The Recorder. Hi, Marissa.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. So tell me a little bit more about the issues that you think were exposed by the case and the proceedings.
You know, I don't think anyone would argue that there is not a lack of women in venture capital. But she raised some emails that, regardless of your perspective, don't make Kleiner Perkins look good, where one partner was talking about excluding women from a company ski trip. He said, let's just punt on this woman and invite some awesome men instead. And things like that, which even though they ultimately won the case, that's out there.
But is it possible that this loss will also maybe have a chilling effect on women bringing these cases to court? Will it just encourage women to settle out of court?
That's entirely possible as well. Also, the case didn't make Ellen Pao look very good either. The defense did a very good job of turning the jury's sympathy against her. They brought up an email where she was upset with her secretary for running late to work, even though she knew her secretary had stopped to help a car crash victim. They brought up evidence Ellen Pao had made another coworker cry at work. So it definitely a plaintiff could see how just embarrassing these trials can be and how difficult they can be to win, and that definitely could encourage them to settle.
It's been a few days now. Is there anything else about this case that has you thinking about, I don't know, the future of cases like this?
You know, it really, I think, for me has illustrated how difficult these situations are. It's just very complicated. It's just illustrated how you can interpret these things in several different ways. And it just goes to show you, you know, it's not always clear what is sexism and what is bias, and a lot of it is just perception, and it's maybe the men in these workplaces being more aware of how their actions come across, even if they don't necessarily mean to be discriminatory.
Marissa Kendall writes for The Recorder. Marissa, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be on.
While we're on this topic of diversity in tech, Boston's Northeastern University has announced it will launch a bunch of small educational hubs in companies around the Bay Area. Part of the plan is to get more women and minorities into a variety of technology fields. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports on Northeastern's initiative, which starts in Silicon Valley.
There's a reason colleges rarely open branches on the opposite side of the country. They tend to be expensive and hard to pull off, but that's not stopping Northeastern.
When you have people in the workplace already, then we don't expect them to come to Boston. We have to go to them.
Joseph Aoun is the president of Northeastern. He says many people who already have a BA are interested in being retrained for jobs in science, technology, and engineering.
People who are in the workplace who want to retool or who want to advance, and their knowledge is becoming obsolete.
Northeastern is partnered with the San Jose company Integrated Device Technology to offer a mixture of long-term internships and classroom instruction. Scott Jasek is the editor of Inside Higher Ed. He says it's still too soon to tell how students will respond.
We'll either be seeing a lot of people going into the program, coming out and getting good jobs or having their careers advance or not.
Jasek says other schools might offer similar programs at a lower cost, but may not have the industry connections that Northeastern does. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Recently at the Ariana Grande concert, the usual pop star moves made way for this.
You
That is the pop star playing with small black Mimu gloves. The gloves have sensors and software in them that make sounds based on gestures live on stage. These gloves were created by the musician Imogen Heap and a team of technologists. And now, tween pop star Grande is playing with them. We sent digital producer Tobin Lowe to see the Mimu gloves in action. He caught up with Kelly Snook, one of the designers of the gloves, backstage at Madison Square Garden in New York.
So very simply, what they do is they sense the position and the posture of the hands and the arms and communicate that data directly to the computer. I think what's exciting about this is that it's like a theremin, only you get to choose what parameters are controlling what parameters.
Is there any way that I can see these demoed?
Hello, Marketplace.
That's awesome.
I think there's a number of us on the team that are using and are very excited about the idea of augmenting existing acoustic instruments or existing instruments. So, yeah, you can be an instrumentalist with superpowers rather than, you know, one trying to replace the other.
What do you guys hope for this project down the road?
To make this type of music making so widely accessible that it actually changes the way that people make music.
We've posted a video of Grande playing with the Mimu gloves. That's at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.